And you're right. It's not about fixing the person because they're not broken. It's not about asking them to change and be somebody that they're not. It's helping them learn to look for the things that they can adapt. And it's a beautiful thing. And I think that's again, that's something that you see in teaching, is seeing people take on something they didn't know how to do before, or they thought they'd never be able to do. And that's like, it's so beautiful.
You just hit the nail on the head. We're still teaching. Hi, everybody, and welcome to ADHD Eavesdrop, where you can be a butterfly on the wall and listen in on my conversations. Today, I'm so excited to have with us Kate Sage, who's the owner of Sage EF Coaching, which is executive functioning coaching, is an executive function and ADHD coach for adults. She is a former teacher who brings a warm, strengths-based approach to coaching, helping clients develop practical strategies, uncover patterns, and build more self-trust along the way. Her work is deeply rooted in community, curiosity, and self-compassion. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. It's just, we were just talking a little bit earlier about the fact that we both are previous teachers. So I was thinking this would be a great place to start off. So tell me a little bit about your teaching history and how that kind of rolled you into coaching or didn't roll you into coaching. And also your experience with ADHD in education.
Sure. Great. Well, I will probably give you a wandering response, which I understand is par for the course and good to know. So
I like it, you know.
Yes. Yeah. It's more organic. It feels natural. I like it. So yes, former teacher. I taught for 13 years. So I went to school in Pennsylvania, Millersville University of Pennsylvania, which is a small state school. Got my bachelor's degree in secondary English education. And later from Wilkes University, I got my master's in education. And I taught both in Pennsylvania and in North Carolina, where I live now. I have taught every grade level of language arts from sixth grade through 12th grade. I've taught public and private school. So I've had a lot of different experiences. But as far as kind of what brought me into coaching, through teaching. So the last school that I taught, actually, where I spent about half of my teaching career, was a small private school for students with diagnosed learning differences and or ADHD. And one of the beautiful things about that school was we had only four students per classroom, which, talking about a variety of experience. I mean, I'm trying to think, when I last taught public school, I believe I had up to 35 students in my classroom,
yeah,
35
right.
high schoolers. Yeah. 35 high schoolers crammed together.
I mean, four students is even like a small resource room. It's a small
it self-class. Is. Yes, yes. And it was, I mean, it was lovely. You know that it can take a while to form relationships and rapport with students. But in that environment, I felt like I knew kids at like an April depth by about October. Just really, really got to know those students well. And I loved working with neurodivergent students and with a variety of learning profiles. And of course, that wasn't anything new to me. I had had plenty of students with ADHD and learning differences, but getting to know them on an individual level really helped me see the depth and variety that of the way that one diagnosis, one simple diagnosis like ADHD can look so different from person to person. And I think I knew that instinctually, but I really got to see that, what that looked like, what that felt like. And I loved getting to know students in a way where I could help them understand the material through the way that those individual students learned and processed. And I just loved that. It was like a collaboration. It felt like a conversation. And it was beautiful. And while I was at that school, we started kind of a pilot program. I was part of a committee that built a resource library about executive function skills for the school's teachers and tutors. And I was also part of we piloted a coaching program. So I was a one-on-one executive function coach for high schoolers in addition to teaching. Yes, that was my first experience with coaching. I loved having the chance to explicitly teach skills that we tend to take. And I realized as I learned more about executive functioning that the part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, that EF skills come from is not fully developed by high school. And so we are sometimes asking kids to do things that their brains are not actually ready for them to do independently. And like with really any other skill, it requires a combination of practice and seeing examples from people who have those skills in order for students to develop them. So it was really interesting to think about, like, okay, if I had never, like, how do you teach somebody to manage time? How do you teach somebody to break a bigger project into smaller steps? And I liked that problem solving, strategic thinking kind of challenge. So yeah, so that was my experience with coaching. I loved it. I think I did that for about, I think we did that about 3 years. And then I just went through a period where I was experiencing a lot of change in my life, a separation, eventually a divorce. I moved. I was trying to think about what else I could do with my background besides teaching, thinking like I should do something that's flexible. I'm not sure if I'm going to stay in the state or move again. And I did, I do not have a marketing or business background, but I did some very informal market research and realized there really isn't much as far as one-on-one coaching for adults in executive function skills in this area. So yeah, went through an ADHD coach training program, and now I put that all together to come up with Sage EF coaching, and I just passed 2 years in business.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
It is tough. And I am, I've been about, I'm trying to think, 2 years full swing. Mm-hmm. And
wow.
Marketing is tough. And that was one of the hardest things for me. But working with the clients, oh my God, I love working with the clients so much. So yeah, kind of similarly, I taught also. And I taught all grades and all disability areas between ages 3 and 26. Because in Michigan, you go all the way to 26 for special education. And I don't know where you're at.
North Carolina.
Okay. So mostly
21.
21. Yeah. We go all the way to 26.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope it can stay that way.
It's a big advantage. It really is a big advantage for that population. But throughout that whole time, I worked obviously with kids with ADHD, with all kinds of different disabilities, and started out in elementary and realized this is not for me. I don't really like elementary kids. I think they're lovely, but they scare me a little bit.
Yeah.
You can tie their own shoes, you know, sharpen their own pencil, all those things. And so I found myself in a middle school classroom and loved that. Middle schoolers crack me up. And you said you've taught sixth through eighth grade. And
yes.
They are the funniest things ever.
Because
underwear is still funny, but they're starting to get the sarcasm and the kind of adult humor too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think they're starting to figure out their own senses of humor, which sometimes translates well to adults and not always. But yeah, they're quirky and unself-conscious, but still playful. That was something that I really liked about middle school. Like I remember with a middle school group doing, it was a grammar lesson about denotation and connotation. And I remember I had a bunch of verbs that were all roughly similar in meaning, but had different connotations. So like the difference between amble and walk and saunter and skip, like they all mean to move by foot from one place to another. But I remember saying to them like, okay, we're going to go to the large group instruction room and act out some verbs. And they were like, oh, okay, sounds good. But high schoolers, some of them might think that they're too cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You can still hang in middle school or coloring page.
Wow. absolutely. Actually, that still works in high school too. I did find with high schoolers, if you make them think that they're getting a deal, I was going to have everybody read another chapter today, but I think I want to do this grammar lesson where we all go down and act out some verbs. What do you think about that? Like, if they think they're getting a deal, then oh yeah.
Like, I don't want to do another chapter.
Yeah. Right. Or like, guys, I have kind of a silly, like, this is kind of a stupid idea and you might not like it, but what if we did that? Then they're on board. You just have, it's funny how with each age group, you kind of have to present the same activity or information in slightly different ways.
Absolutely. And high schoolers, they're really just big kids. I don't know about you, but yeah. Mine still like stickers and all those things when I was there.
Like stickers. Yes, exactly.
I love stickers.
Yes.
I love a sticker
Absolutely.
Chart.
Absolutely.
So yeah, they're pretty awesome. As a teacher then, you weren't actually certified in special education, but you were doing special education.
Right. Yeah, certified teacher, just not the special ed certification. Right, exactly. Yeah.
So
and I learned
what we call special ed teacher wannabes. Because you develop a love for those kids. I've seen Absolutely. It happen with so many gen ed teachers where it's like that teacher is really a special ed teacher. They just didn't realize it until
Oh, yeah, so absolutely. Right. And I think with any teaching area, I don't even know if I can give a percent. I would say at least 75% of it is on the job learning. I mean, there's great preparation with going through a degree program, but you don't really know what you're doing until you're actually in a classroom and figuring it out on the fly. And I think that's probably true in lots of other fields as well. But I think teaching is so experiential as far as developing your expertise and your skills and figuring out your classroom management style and rapport and all of that. I mean, there's only so much that you can do to prep for that until you're actually in the classroom figuring it out.
I agree. It's like it's a sink or swim situation. You know, somebody can teach me how to swim on a board, you know, and all the motions, I can kick my legs, right. I can move my arms, but until you put me in the water, I'm not going to know whether I can do it or not.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So how your teaching has helped you with your coaching?
That's a great question. I feel like I have an advantage as far as relating to clients because I have had that experience of translating the same material in different ways to reach individuals or to know, again, like with a small group of students in particular, I got to know like, okay, this group really likes this particular TV show. So if I can make references that they can connect to, great. This class is not super into small talk and they need more constraints and clearer directions than another group of students who will take the same project and want it to be open-ended. You know, really getting to know people on an individual level and almost thinking backwards from their point of view to kind of anticipate what they will connect with, where they might feel some confusion or resistance, that kind of anticipation that comes from knowing the people you're working with really well. And I think as a former teacher, I also have a good understanding, and I know you do too, that learning is change. And it might not be like life-altering, earth-shaking change, but if you're learning something new, that is a change. And change always brings a little bit of resistance or anxiety or hesitation. And again, not always necessarily like kicking and screaming, dragging their feet hesitation. But I just think it's valuable for me as a coach to remember, it's humbling that the folks I'm working with, and I work with adults 25 and older, so many of them have tried so many things before they get to me. They have tried every kind of specialty planner that they get fed to them through Instagram ads. They've joined communities. They've done like ADHD boot camps. They've subscribe to all these YouTube channels. They've tried so many different things. And they often come to coaching feeling like, I want to do this for myself because I understand the importance, but this runs the risk of being one more thing that I try that doesn't stick. And I know that, and I anticipate that, and I don't shy away from that. I understand coaching is learning. Learning is change. Change is resistance. And I think
the difference with coaching, at least with me, and I think probably with a lot of executive functioning coaches, is that we're actually not trying to fix a problem. We're not trying to make it go away. And we're trying to teach a process of teaching yourself how to coach yourself, right?
Exactly.
And
right.
Know the questions to ask yourself and know the strategies and how to come up with your own strategies. So my goal is after somebody's met with me for a period of time, they can coach themselves. That's my goal.
Yes, absolutely. I always say the goal is to not need me.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're exactly right. To be able to embody that introspection and those pauses to gently interrogate what's actually going on here. And I think kind of that big question of what do I know about myself that is affecting the situation here, that's making something harder or making me really excited about this thing and not this thing. It's again, it's learning to pause and ask gentle questions and figure out what they can do about it. And you're right. We help them. We help clients set up that framework. But ultimately, the goal is for them to do that themselves. And it's a beautiful thing. And I think that's again, that's something that you see in teaching is seeing people take on something they didn't know how to do before, or they thought they'd never be able to do. And that's it's so beautiful.
You just hit the nail on the head. We're still teaching, which is really weird because when you coach, you really don't give a lot of information. It's not an oration. It's not, you know, like us sitting here telling people, well, this is what you should do. But it is a learning process. And so we just are teaching in a different way.
Right. Right. Yeah. We're teaching the thinking and the questioning skills, but not, it's tough to say, because it's like we are teaching skills, but we're teaching people how to learn to do those things, which sounds hokey, but that really is kind of what
I mean, you say to them, you know, you may come to me with a problem about cooking dinner, right? And not being able to cook dinner. But really what you're learning during us talking about that strategy is how to attack any obstacle that you confront.
Yes, absolutely right. And what can you modify? What can you pre-decide? Or where can you take shortcuts? Like it's really teaching people to look for those opportunities to modify things to make them work for them. Right. And you're right. It's not about fixing the person because they're not broken. It's not about asking them to change and be it somebody that they're not. It's helping them learn to look for the things that they can adapt.
And it's so proactive. That's the other thing is like therapy. When you talk about therapy, it's like, well, let's dredge up all the bad things that have happened throughout your life and pick them apart and look at them again. And coaching is like now and later.
Yes.
Let's, you know, not that the past doesn't affect, because we do kind of dive into the past on occasion because we'll find an old story that's not serving a person anymore. But yeah, the therapy is very focused on, again, fixing old traumas. And we're more about what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do moving forward?
Yeah. It's interesting. I just made this connection that I hadn't really made before. But I think a reason that I loved teaching language arts, just because I love stories. I love reading, but I think the literature that we read was a vehicle to tap into so many other issues because it was the discussions that I liked. It was the this character did this in response. What would you have done? Or let's talk about a time where you faced a challenge like this, or what advice would you give the character at this point? Like it gave me an opportunity to talk about deeper things with students. And I think coaching does that too, because you're right. I mean, a conversation about cooking can go in so many different directions depending on the person you're working with and their experience and their needs and their self-talk about cooking. And so in the same way that, yes, teaching language arts is about reading skills and grammar and vocabulary and those important things, but it's also about nurturing the learner behind that content. And I really think that's what coaching is too. And it's about advising, but it's about supporting the person who's trying to learn how to do those things.
A lot of times, not just supporting them, but bringing them to a place where they accept and love themselves, which is something that we did with our students as well. You know, it's like, even we weren't their therapists, we weren't their counselors, but every day you try to build that into them that, you know, yes, you are capable, you are worthy, you are lovable, you know, and that's a first obstacle in my mind. That's Bloom's taxonomy, you know, and mm-hmm. love and caring come first.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely. That's a really good connection. Yeah. Do you miss teaching?
No, I really don't. If I was going to go back to a teaching situation like the one that you were in, where I had four students, where I could yes. make those connections, yes. where I could do those types of things, I would love to do that. I don't miss 35 kids in a classroom trying to teach them economics and, you know, you were differentiating for four kids. Mm-hmm. I was trying to differentiate, you know, and I was team teaching. So there were two of us, mm-hmm. but I was trying to differentiate for a class of 30, because I'm not just going to differentiate for my special ed kids. Everybody right. deserves right. differentiation, yeah. right?
I agree. Yeah. And all different subject areas for you too.
Absolutely. And so that's what I don't miss. I don't miss the rat race. I miss teaching though. And so coaching kind of fills that. But what fills that even more, and I never expected in my entire life that this is where I would be, but doing my podcast and doing my yeah. channel, my YouTube channel, I'm teaching. I'm just continuing right. to teach.
That's great. Yes. Yeah. And I think it's like once a teacher, always a teacher. I think if you have a teacher's heart, it's going to come out in whatever you're doing.
Absolutely.
And I do. I agree with you. I can't imagine now going back into like a typical public school situation. I think the only teaching situation I would go back to would be that school where I last taught. But I miss the pure act of teaching. I don't miss all the other stuff that went with it. I don't miss the pace. It's funny. I don't know if you noticed this when you retired or maybe even when you moved into administration, but I didn't realize how much teaching dictated about my day-to-day life until I was out of it. I mean, even just like, I didn't hang out with friends on school nights and I was in bed by 9:30 and up at 5 o'clock. Like I didn't realize how much that was shaping the mm-hmm. rest of my day-to-day life. But I'm lucky, in addition to one-on-one coaching, I also do some local education events through our libraries. I have like a three-part series on executive function. There's an overview, one on time management, one on task management. And that feels like teaching. I mean, I love that you prepare kind of the presentation or lesson plan. You know what you want folks to walk away with. But I love that on the fly improvisation of, oh, I'm going to bring this point back to a question somebody asked earlier. And I know that person in the back and they're really into this particular thing. I'm going to come up with an example for them. And just that interaction with the crowd and picking up on the energy of an audience and playing with that, that really just lights me up. And I'm really happy that I've had those opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one thing when I went into administration that I actually did like was yeah. that, you know, I taught teachers and I'd always wanted to teach teachers. And then I was doing in-services and teaching the teachers. And it was like, that was one of my favorite parts was doing in-services and training.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I could see that being really meaningful.
It was a lot of fun. I do believe that my background in education, though, makes me a better coach.
How do you see that for yourself?
Well, I think because just like you, you know, we spent years and years focusing on other people's needs. At the time it was kids, right? Focusing on what do they need, really paying attention to them and their behaviors, their thoughts, those all of that kind of stuff. And then taking that information, playing with it, and coming up with solutions and ideas to help them. And we did that in the classroom, and we do that now.
Yeah. 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 It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So I like to work with college kids myself.
Oh, nice.
I've worked with, you know, and I work with adults. I also like some ladies who are like postmenopausal and stuff like that. Really good. I love the college kids because I always feel like in high school, you get a lot of support. You hit college. Mm-hmm. Not only are you expected to do all your work on your own, your classwork, but you got an adult too, right? You got bills.
Yes.
You got things that you have doctor's appointments to make and this other stuff. So I really like working with that population because a lot of times we lose our ADHD kids in college. They don't make it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that relates to something that I end up talking about in presentations and with one-on-one clients is talking about time management in particular, because I think that's maybe the most common issue that people come to adult clients come to coaching for is time management. Again, going back to that idea that the EF command center of your brain is not fully developed when you're a kid. School is so time-oriented. Grade school.
My God, yes.
Yes, so time-oriented, so routine-based. There's always an authority figure to tell you when something is due, to remind you, okay, we have a test on Friday, so tonight you should really start preparing. Somebody tells you if something is overdue, they remind you. Even giving you an idea of what is a reasonable amount of work to accomplish in one class period or one night of homework. There's somebody who makes those decisions for you. That still happens in college too. It's less dictated and less strict, but it's still usually your time is pretty dictated by someone else. And then we dump folks out into the real world and expect that they have these skills. Like, of course, you know how to break a long-term project into a three-month timeline. And of course, you understand how to estimate how long it will take you to complete these things. And really, that's something that's eye-opening for coaching clients is me helping them pause to realize most of us were never taught how to do that. We might have had a lot of experience with receiving direction about how that should be done, but we haven't had to make a lot of those decisions on our own before we're out in the real world. And so your college students who work with you, again, really getting that explicit instruction, that's got to be such a gift for them before they're out in the world with jobs and families and all kinds of responsibility.
I hope it's helpful.
I would imagine this.
I think it probably is. I always love the look on people's faces when you tell them you need to give yourself a little bit of grace. Brain is not fully developed. And, you know, like an 18-year-old is like, oh, no, you know, whatever. But when you realize that an ADHD frontal lobe development can be delayed up to 10 years compared to other brains, it's like you are 18 years old, functioning at an executive level of probably a 15-year-old, trying to live an adult life in a college situation, you know. But when I tell them there is an actual physical delay going on in your brain that is causing they almost get like this look of, thank God I'm not.
Right. Right. Yes. But how could you know that if nobody has ever told you? And right. That's where I think the teacher kicks in of let me teach you about yourself so that you can give yourself more compassion. Right. And it doesn't mean that gives you permission to say, well, I struggle with time management, never going to figure it out. But it's just, it gives you grace and compassion to say, it makes sense that this is hard for me. And it makes sense why I need some support as I'm trying to figure it out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I can't believe we've been talking this long already.
I know.
Oh my gosh, it goes so fast.
I knew this would be a good topic though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I always like to ask my new people one more question before we go, because I want you to have the last word. So it is not always the same. My question for you is, you took a class and you did a bunch of stuff for training for an ADHD life coaching. If you could take something that you've learned since you left education and teach that implicitly or explicitly to a classroom of students with ADHD who are actually paying very close attention, what would you give them? What piece of advice that you've got to have? You got 10 minutes with these kids. Give them a knowledge nugget.
Okay, so teaching students, like high school students, mm-hmm. about ADHD.
Like what you know now that you didn't know when you were teaching high school.
Man, that's a really good question. I want to think about this because that's a question that deserves a really good answer. I think it's kind of a repeat of what we've talked about before, but I think really, again, specifically naming where these skills come from in our brains. And I think we don't do enough to explain the learning process to students. Like even just laying that all out there for them, like, this is how your brain learns new skills. These are variables that can get in the way of that. Just helping kids understand their brain as a tool or machine or whatever metaphor you would want to use. And then explaining, there will be things that you encounter as an adult that you don't know how to do. And the goal of being an adult is not knowing how to do everything, but developing the problem solving skills and the confidence and the knowledge of what resources are available to you so that you can figure things out. Nobody knows how to do everything. And even the most put together adults on the surface, they have things that they struggle with, but the goal is to know, okay, when I encounter a new situation and I feel vulnerable or I feel behind other people around me, what can I do about it? And the goal isn't to avoid the situations that make me feel vulnerable, but to think about what do I have at my disposal to help me move forward through this. So I think that's something. I'm thinking about math in particular. I worked with a really skilled math teacher who emphasized to her students, like, the goal is not for you to remember the quadratic formula when you're 35 years old. The goal is to have practice in encountering problems and thinking, what do I have in my tool belt that can help me address this problem? And really, that is the goal of learning. And that was a rambling answer, but I think that's what I would want them to know.
I think it's a beautiful answer.
That was like a job interview question. I like that.
That's a good answer.
Thank you.
Hey, I really appreciate you coming on today. We have had a great conversation. I hope you've had a good time.
I really did. Yes, thank you. It's nice to talk about teaching. I think, again, that will always light me up. I will always be an educator at heart, and I'm happy to talk about that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's like so many things that we touched on that we could have gone even deeper into.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you again, Kate. And for our butterflies on the wall, if they're listening in and they like what they hear and they like their content, we hope that they like, subscribe, do all the fun stuff. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Thank you.